Just going back over this past week and got a slight pullback in some of the economic data throughout the US. And some people are putting this down to a compare and contrast between the US and here. If you're looking at the amount of budget spending that's occurring in the US, it's way bigger than us. You know, we've got big budget spending coming through, but in the US it was much, much bigger. And one of the areas where the budget spending was extended under the Biden administration was in the subsidies to unemployment benefits. And you know, here, obviously, we cut those back quite a way. In the US, they stayed very, very generous, $300 US a week in terms of the boost. And so that may account for why we're just starting to see a bit of a topping off in things like non-farm payrolls. Although the economy is picking up well, the latest non-farm payrolls numbers that came out last week were not up to expectations. You know, the market thought we were going to get a 978,000 lift in non-farm payrolls. The lift was only 266,000, and actually revised back the previous month, which was huge at 916,000, back to 770,000. One consequence of that is that the unemployment rate has lifted a touch from 6% to 6.1%. This probably won't mean much for the power of the US economic recovery, because there's a lot of income support going through the US at the moment. And so that will certainly continue to feed through into spending. Expect to see that continuing. But one or two of the lead indicators in the US are also not quite as strong as might have been expected. Last week we had the ISM Purchasing Managers report out for the manufacturing sector for the month of April. And yeah, most forecasters thought that would stay in the mid-60s. It was 64.7 going back to March. Thought it would come in around 65. It actually faded back to 60.7. And we also had the ISM non-manufacturing survey as well. That one was expected to go up a little bit from 63.7 to 64.3. That one too came back a touch, just to 62.7. So just that touch of softness there in some of the US data, but probably not going to persist, because we do expect that there's plenty of wherewithal to spend in the US. One effect out of all this was you know, we've seen some of that pressure coming out of bond yields in the US for a few weeks now. Of course, that continued last week. And the paradox is, even though we got these slightly softer numbers, it was actually good news as far as risk assets were concerned. It took away one of the threats of somewhat higher bond yields. And so, yeah, they continue to rally pretty strongly. And, you know, we have got most of their equity market indices at record highs again going into late last week. This week in the US, we haven't got a lot of data, but it will be watched what there is. On Wednesday, we've got the CPI coming out for the month of April. And we are getting a little bit of a hill in the annual inflation rate. This is to be expected almost everywhere, because we're coming off very low bases going back to the middle of last year. So annual inflation rates temporarily are going above the targets for most central banks. It'll happen in the US, it'll happen here in Australia too over the next quarter or two. Central banks are still saying it's going to come back off that, and they all expect it to fade back. So they're not going to be reacting to it. But we'll just see what the CPI shows on Wednesday. Market thinks we'll get a 0.2% month-on-month increase. The month before was 0.6%. That will mean that the annual change in the CPI will actually lift to 3.6% year-on-year from 2.6%. So it is getting pretty high, but it's a temporary peak as far as the Fed is concerned, and will settle back at some point later in the year and into next year. The core CPI too, not quite as pronounced as the headline CPI, but they're expecting a 0.3% month-on-month increase in that. That was after a 0.3% increase the month before. The annual change will lift from 1.6% to 2.3%. So not quite as alarming as far as the core CPI is concerned. A little bit later in the week, on Thursday, we'll get producer prices. And these two, it's another area of just a little bit of concern, a hint that there might be a bit of inflation in the system. The PPI is expected to lift by 0.3% month on month, and that follows a 1% gain going back the month before. If that occurs, then the annual rate of change in producer prices in the US will lift to 5.9% year on year from 4.2%. So that does suggest a little bit of pipeline pressure there, so something that's worth monitoring over time, where although the bond markets are not selling off the way they were going back maybe 4 or 6 weeks ago, it could come back if they start to fear that inflation has been driven higher by the policy responses in the US. Also on Friday, we've got things like retail sales coming out. One of the reasons why I don't think we should be too worried about some of the softer economic numbers out of the US is that we've had quite a surge in retail spending. Back in March, it lifted 9.7% month on month. That's partly due to the income support measures. Obviously, you get a bit of settling back on the back of that, so the market thinks we'll be up 0.2%. But if you put those two together, that's very, very strong retail spending growth. And core retail sales are expected to lift about 0.9% month on month after having lifted 8.4% the month before. So these are the surges that we get and settling back also from time to time because of when income support measures come through in the United States. In terms of China, last week we had the cakes in the services sector PMI. That wasn't too bad. It actually lifted to 56.3 from 54.3, so some suggestion that services sector spending is actually lifting quite well in China. And international trade numbers out of China comfortably beating expectations. So this is more a reflection of strong global economic growth. This is occurring despite the fact that China's picking trade wars with many people. April exports in China, surprisingly, that accelerated to 32.3% year-on-year from 30.6%. Market thought it would have come back to about 24.1%. So that's very, very strong. And similarly so on the import side, which reflects, if anything, domestic spending in China. And there was an acceleration there from 38.1% year-on-year in March to 43.1%. So these are very, very strong numbers for trade out of China, and speak of a global economy which really is showing some power. This week in China, we'll get some of their inflation data on Tuesday. It's expected to show a lift of 1% year-on-year, nothing alarming there, from 0.4% going back the month before. Producer prices, though, a bit like US producer prices, there's a bit in the pipeline coming through because they're expected to accelerate to 6.6% year-on-year from 4.4%. So a little bit of pressure coming through on that front. Australia last week, and we had a fair bit of data. We also had the RBA meeting, and we also had the quarterly monetary policy statement. Looking at the data first, it's all talking to just an incredible boom coming through here in terms of economic activity. We had ANZ job ads came out for the most recent month, and they lifted another 4.7% month on month after lifting 7.8% month on month. They're now running 27.8% above the pre-COVID peak. And of course, we're hearing a lot from many industries now about the difficulty they're having getting labour in the current market. We had international trade data came through, not quite as strong as it has been, but still pretty good trade surplus coming in at $5.547 billion. The previous month was actually revised up to $7.59 billion. There was a little bit of a settling back in exports, but still pretty strong reading. We had March housing finance data, and truly booming away. Another 5.5% month-on-month lift in housing finance commitments. They're now up 55.3% year-on-year. And if we break that down, we've got owner-occupier loans, which in the month are up 3.3%, are up 55.6% year-on-year. Investors are now starting to catch up, and investor loans are up 12.7% month-on-month, up 54.3% year-on-year. So yeah, this is still going absolutely gangbusters, and still feeding into a lot of activity running through the housing sector. We had March home building approvals came out, and these were way stronger than expected. The market thought they would be up 3%. This was because we had an over 20% lift in home building approvals the month before. They lifted by 17.4% month on month, and the annual change now in home building approvals is 47.4%. The actual number of home building approvals is 23,100 in just 1 month, and we've only ever had 1 month in history going all the way back to 2017, which briefly on a spike went above that. We're running at genuine records, and obviously when you look at the sorts of home building, and it's the high powered part of home building approvals too, it's private sector houses which are really racing away, not home unit development. And private sector houses home building approvals, they're up 60.9% year on year. So a lot of strength running through the housing construction sector, which obviously is going to support economic growth. Coming to the RBA, And still on the same, we're going to leave interest rates unchanged and inflation's all about wages, and we don't expect wages to lift too fast. But in the same breath, they've again lifted their economic forecast substantially, and we got the full details of their economic forecasts in the monetary policy statement that came out on Friday. And to give you some example, for June 2021, the quarter that we're in currently, this is expected to be the peak GDP growth quarter, because you're reflecting it from a base which was very low going back to June 2020. If you went back 6 months ago, the Reserve Bank was forecasting that annual GDP growth would be a really strong 6% year on year. In November, they lifted that 6% to 8% year-on-year GDP growth, and in the latest forecast, they've lifted it to 9.25% year-on-year GDP growth. Now, normally when you get that sort of uplift in a forecast for a quarter like that, you expect to see some give back in the quarters beyond, but the RBA's held the GDP growth forecasts extraordinarily high for the quarters beyond. So you do get settleback, because obviously we had some very strong growth in the second half of last year, so you're coming off a much higher base. But basically, their forecasts for December 2021, June 2022, are still almost identical to where they've been. You're still looking at 4.75% growth in those quarters. And where this is really reflected through is the changes to their forecasts for the unemployment rate. If you went back 6 months ago to November last year, they were forecasting that in June 2021, the unemployment rate would be 7.5%. They've now revised that all the way down in the latest forecast to 5.25%. And they're now expecting that the unemployment rate will fall to 5% by December this year. Now, 5% is under anything we saw pre-COVID. By June next year, they're down to 4.75% by the time they get to December quarter of 2022. Now, you'd expect that to be reflected in what they're saying about wages. They have lifted their forecast of wages growth a little. So June 2021 is now 1.5% rather than 1%, and they've added about a half percentage point into annual wages growth all the way out until by June 2023, they've got annual wages growth at 2.25%. It just doesn't look right. If you've got this strength running through economic activity and you're force feeding it with very easy monetary conditions, and that's what they were saying in the monetary policy statement, it's highly unlikely that you keep wages growth down at that sort of level. And certainly, you know, they've still got low inflation forecasts running all the way through. They've got a blip upwards in the inflation rate for the next quarter, where it goes to 3.25%, but then it drops neatly to 1.75% going to December this year. And they've got it between 1.5% and 1.25%, 1.5% out through 2022. It just looks way too low, and that's what's underpinning their view that they can keep interest rates unchanged all the way through to 2024 at least. And you know, to add to this, we've got a budget coming this week. And so this week, you know, what are we going to see in Australia? Well, we've got the budget on Tuesday night, and in that budget, we know that there's a lot more spending in various areas coming through in that budget. We know there's a $10 billion aged care package spread over 4 years, which, you know, has to come. Is all good stuff. Yeah, we got support for single parent women in bringing up children to get into the housing market with Commonwealth government going to be guaranteeing a large part of the deposit on a home loan, 18 percentage points of the 20 percentage point deposit. We've got some more infrastructure spend coming through. We've got some more on childcare coming through. And we've got an extension of the low and middle income tax rebate coming through in the budget. So we've got the RBA pouring petrol onto this booming economy. The government's about to do some more of that when the budget comes out on Tuesday night. It is making it very, very hard to forecast at what point something breaks. And it's not breaking in terms of weaker economic growth. This is just growth that's going to the heavens. And at some point, you know, that will be requited in a higher wage growth and inflation rate. And it looks as if it's going to happen a lot quicker than the government's forecasting. So just trying to keep all that into some sort of perspective and working out at what point all this starts to bite, at what point Reserve Bank blinks and changes what it's saying. Europe last week, we had the manufacturing PMI came out, slight downward revision for the month of April, down to 62.9 from 63.3. Not too much to write home about there. We had producer prices came out, and yeah, again, it's the same story. There's a bit of pipeline inflation pressure here all the way around the world. And the annual change in producer prices out of Europe went up from 1.5% year-on-year in February to 4.3% year-on-year in March. It was more than the market expected. So whether you're looking at Europe, US or China, you've got a fair bit of producer price pressure starting to show in the pipeline. We also had March retail sales came out of Europe, and these are now looking really promising. If nothing else, as they start to ease up running into the late spring and into the summer months, we're starting already to see some improvement in retail sales. This goes back to March, where the market thought they'd get a 1.4% lift in retail sales. It was 2.7%, and that follows an upwardly revised 4.2% the month before. So, yeah, spending's really starting to lift in Europe, and again, that will help them to catch up with the strength of economic activity in other parts. And Europe this week, we've got some investor confidence type stuff which should improve. This is a Centix survey. It should go from plus 13.1 to about plus 14. We've got the ZEW economic sentiment survey for May. That was at 66.3, should make around 70-ish for the most recent period. And March industrial production, which was soft in February at minus 1, but should lift a little bit by about 0.6. So broadly speaking, you know, the numbers looking not too bad. But all told, you know, it's a story of onwards and upwards as far as economies are concerned. And for our economy, it's one big boom that's building up in this economy. And you know, even the dear old Reserve Bank, you know, they might not be talking about lifting interest rates, but yeah, every other part of their forecast, economic forecast, says boom time ahead, big time.